Parshat Matos. It's interesting to see how the parsha is right smack in the middle of Kabanos on one side, last week's parsha ending, and the Nikmas Midjan on the other. And the parsha of Nedarim, right smack in the middle. But one of the things we can explain this is by saying that just as last week's parsha, the Kabanos come after the Nikmas Pinchas, the great thing that he did to be Mechabel B'nai Yisrael, to show you it's compared to the Kabanos, which are also Mechaper. Even more so, because the Yikr is to do the right thing that you don't even need a carbon, as Pinchas did. In fact, we can give another Peshat besides Yerushalmi in Perikav Tes when it says Vasisem Olo, and the Yerushalmi explains, and you should consider it as you yourself are the carbon. The changing of the expression that usually it says Vigraftem carbon, and here it says Vasisem. Like the Ramban explains in Chumash, that you have to consider it and take the Musa, like you do with the chicken on Erev Yom Kippur, Zet Murasi, Zechel Shosi. But we can also say Vasisem, that that's the Iker. The Iker is the Asiya. Lo Amidjashikal Amasa. Oh, a carbon amasa, that you shouldn't even need any kabanos to be mechaper. To do things exactly the way Hashem wants you to, like Pinchas did. And to be deserving to come into Eretz Yisrael, which the Yidden were now at the threshold, and not ruin it again, Chas v'Shalom, as they started to with the Baal Pa'or. They had to rid themselves of these sinners now. And that's the hemshich of the parshas of Nedarim. Because due to the Aveira of being over Nedarim, future generations can chas v'shalom be lost. And without the people to inhabit Eretz Yisrael, what's the use of Eretz Yisrael? It's called Eretz Yisrael, the land of the Jewish people. Because without them, what's the use? Just as the Torah, without Bnei Yisrael, like Moshe Rabbeinu told the Malachim. And therefore, that is the Hemshech Yerosu. Of Matos, the Rashi Amatos, the heads, especially of the tribes, the leaders have to be the proper shomrim to take care, make sure that the people are in line and that there's no averus, because they're the ones who can protest. As Rashi brings, Pasuk Yudalid, Perek Lamed Aleph, because the Mamunim are responsible. They are the leaders. Of course, each and every one of us are responsible for what we do. But, as we know, this is Zev Zeh Goyrim. Each one is taken to task for what they have to do. Just as the Klal in the Gemara, Kol Sheyesh Biyado Limchas V'Nemolcheh, anyone who has the ability to be Meicha, he's also taken to task for that Aveira. And therefore, that's the point, as Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out, that we know from this parsha that not only the father and the husband have the right to annul Nedarim, but there's Hataras Nedarim, that the Chachamim have the ability to take off Nedarim. And that's why it is different, the expression, than in general, by the Rabbi Moshe ben Yisrael. Here it says, El Roshi Amatos. Even though it's not specifically, explicitly, outright mentioned, but that itself tells you that, or else why is he calling the Roshi Amatos, besides other Ramazim that I mentioned. But especially this, they had to come for something. So it's, of course, as we know, that they also have the ability to take off the Nedarim. And therefore, it's the Hemshech of the completion of Pinchas' task to take the Nekama of Bnei Yisrael, of Hashem, from the Midyanim. The contrast between leaders, fathers, husbands, that do just the opposite. They influenced and told their wives, daughters, to make the Israel sin, by being mafkia their own wives and daughters to sin with other men. It shows you how far people can go with the Yetzer Hara. And that's the contrast of true leaders, Bnei Yisrael, that do just the opposite. The leaders that make sure they don't sin. The father, the husband, that makes sure they shouldn't be over the Nedarim and anything else. And we have to understand why the Aveira of Nedarim is so terrible. Because think of it, the person is doing something which is not required of him. He's taking upon himself an added stricture or strictures which Hashem didn't require of him. So if he transgresses his own acceptance of these strictures, how terrible that is. And therefore, as Kahela says, Tov Hashalo Sida Mishatida Vel Shalim, better that you shouldn't make a neder than make a neder and then not fulfill it. And even the Torah says in Parshas Kitzeitse, but if you do, you better make sure you keep it. And therefore, as Rosh Hashiva points out, the person thinks he's making a beautiful thing smelling like the most beautiful rose perfume. And that's why Neder has the same tavis as Nerd, perfume. Smelled a spice in the Keteris, and yet it could be just the opposite. Nereid, the same letters, to go down and not fill it. And even when he's making this net as a gemur, pasuk says, "Vasar Yisar." Yisar can also be, of course, Asa, he binds himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Neder. That's what he wants to do. And yet, if he's not careful, he could become an Eres. The Neder could become a poison. Sheni begins, of course, with the famous question, by the carrying out of the punishment of the Midyanim. And in Pasuk Beis it says, Nekom Nikmah Mas B'nei Yisrael Mi'eis HaMidyanim, Hashem tells Moshe. And in Pasuk Gimel, Moshe tells the people, Vaseis Nikmas Hashem B'Midyanim. Hashem tells Moshe, the nekama of Bnei Yisrael against the Bin Yadim. And Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael, the nekama of Hashem Bnei Yisrael. What is going on that Moshe changes the Lashon like that? Is he going to do differently than what Hashem tells him? So of course not. And as Rashi says, that Nikmas Hashem, when he says that expression, Sha'omi Kenegi Yisrael Kilo Oimi Kenegi Lakash Baruch, it's one and the same. And as the Medrash Rabbah points out even more, Moshe Rabbeinu says, if we were like the other nations, would they hate us? No, you all know that a Yid wouldn't hurt a fly. The most gentle of all nations, the people as a whole, everyone understands that. What is it that causes such a sinner? The only thing that causes that is because they're the conscience of the world. As we know, if everybody's doing it, it's much easier to do something wrong. There's no one to show that you could be any different. But once there's that one person that stands his ground and does the right thing, that's the end. And the only thing that makes Bnei Yisrael Bnei Yisrael is Hashem and His Torah, His blueprint of life. They are all one and the same, cannot be separated. As the Zohar HaKadosh says, Kutshi Baruch Hu V'raisa Bnei Yisrael Chadim. And that's the point of the Pasuk. Nikmas Bnei Yisrael and Nikmas Hashem is one and the same. When you see how the nations of the world, they themselves can do the exact same thing, and it's all good and kosher, but they rise up against Bnei Yisrael, even if they only have to defend themselves against their enemies, and the UN becomes the United Nazis instead. The hypocrisy, the falsehood, it's incredible. As we know, guaranteed by Hashem, that in Israel the righteous ones will prevail and come out on top. And Mitzvah Hashem, the nations of the world should also repent. That would be the best thing, and join the Bnei Israel together to worship Hashem the way they should. And I heard cute word also, being that Pinchas is leading the Bnei Yisrael now against the Midyanim to complete the job, that you notice in the Maftir in Parshas Balak it says, Vaya Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen Vayakam mitoch eidav yikach romach v'yodo. The order of the events is that Hashem, Pinchas saw the Aveda that was going on, and he got up and took the spear and carried out the punishment which Hashem wanted. But many times we see the reverse. A person, a Rasha, having his own agenda, and it happens that Vayikach Roimach Biyodo is the first thing. The Bayar comes afterwards, because all he's doing is looking for a chance to use that Reimach, an excuse for his evil goals, intentions, not to carry out Hashem's goals and intentions. Also Ches before Shlishi, it says that Horagu Bechorev, they called them, killed the Malchi Midyan and Bilon with the sword. So of course we know that the Onish of Misa that Bnei Noach get is Herek with the sword, the killing. So the question is, then why would the Pasuk have to tell me about being killed by the sword here? Once they said Hargu, we would know that. So Rashi, of course, gives a pshat how it was Mida connected Mida, because he switched the yumnus of Bnei Yisrael with the yumnus of the Goyim. There is with the tefillah, and the Goyim is with the sword. And he switched his mouth to try to curse Bnei Yisrael, using their yumnus for evil purposes. And therefore, Bnei Yisrael gave him in return the yumnus that he should stick to, so to speak. Of course, to use it for good instead of bad. And the Paparos, Chachma, also mentions that we know he was one of the three advisors to Paro, Eov, Israel, and Bilam, and he's the one who gave the Yetzer of the enslavement, the Avodah Kosher and everything of Bnei Israel, which lasted for 210 years, their enslavement. And therefore, Bechorev is with Gematria 210, getting his Mida Keneged Mida also for that. And that's why, being a cause of that 210 years of intense hardship that the Bnei Yisrael had, we can say that he also, if it was up to him, they would have it to the limit. And therefore, even before the Yetzer, those years before, it's Mitzdarev, the Maisa, his Machshava, as the Gemara says, the Machshava Ra, Mitzdarev, for the evil Goy, the Maisa. Pasuk Yudalit after Shlishi, Moshe gets angry at the generals for not killing out the women that committed the Aveira of Bnei Israel. And we could say, maybe as far as the doubt that the generals had in this case would be, that as we know, the din of Kanayim Pogambo, like by Pinchas, but if after the act is done and they didn't kill him before, they are not allowed to touch the perpetrator. Here, though, it was a Roa Shor that Hashem himself told them to kill out those who committed the sin, and Hashem sent them a gefa also. And according to Rashi, with the judges of the Bnei Yisrael be killing those who committed the Aveira. And as Rashi brings in the Medrash, that Hashem made a miracle that they should know who were the ones to be killed, with the sun, that the cloud was removed so that they should see who were the ones responsible. And therefore, maybe we can say that since they saw that this was all, so to speak, a Roa Shor, since Hashem didn't say specifically about the women that maybe they are not supposed to do anything. The men, of course, he understood, or else what's the nekama of going to the war? And as we see also a continuation of that Aurora Shah, that Hashem said to kill out others above three by the women, all the males, no matter what age. Hashem, who sees and knows what's best. And one of the things, of course, we can say is he would know, for instance, that all these are future Hitlers, and therefore, as we all would attest to and agree, if someone would have assassinated Hitler way before he had a chance to do any of those things, they would pin the biggest medals on him. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph before Revi, talking about Gulin Nochrim, Kashrin Kalim, so you notice the expression Zos Chukas HaTorah. The second time that we have this expression, as we had in Parshas Chukas by the Porah Aduma, which we explained there, and here also we have to understand why the Torah mentions, describes this chok as a Chukas HaTorah, instead of just saying this is the chok of Gulei Nachrim, whatever lashon, for the specific mitzvah that we're talking about here. And we can say pshat and why it's called chok, that even a bliya, an absorption of a mashahu, whatever, should treif something up, or the fact that 60 times, and why not 70 or 80, whatever it might be, should kasher it or take it out by certain means. So the point is, as Rav Moshe Zatzal explains in Darash Moshe, that this applies to the whole Torah. In what way? The fact that when you take a certain keli that had an absorption by fire, you have to take it out by fire. Kabbalo kachpoto, has the absorption, so is its expelling. And the point that if it was done by water, you take it out by water. So that's the same as far as a person sinning, what we call tshuvas hamishko. That it depends on the aveira, so does the tshuva go. For greater aveira, as we understand, we have to do a greater tshuva. And also the fact to teach us that one shouldn't think, oh, what's the big deal? It's only a small aveira. Chas v'shalom, no. Just like here, the smallest belia is treif. You have to do something to nullify it, remove it. The same thing also, any aveira, you have to get in the bud, remove it. If you didn't, you have to do a tshuva, not to think, no, I don't even have to do a tshuva, such a small thing. No, because aveira goreres aveira, as the Mishnah of it says, that it grows like a cancer. If the little things are not stopped, Yetzirah just says, this is also little, this is also little, this is also little. The big ones become little in the eyes of the Yetzirah, and he entices the person in that way. And therefore, the Torah is showing us, no matter what it is, how small it is not small. Because those small things lead to bigger things. And a blemish on a pure soul is still a blemish, whatever that blemish does, even if it doesn't lead to bigger things. You have to get rid of it. You can't let it fester. You can't let it alone. It's just as in positive ways. If a person wants to do something, sets a goal on something, if he just sets it for just passing, he wants to pass. So he may or may not pass. But if that's not his goal is in order to get 100, perfect. He might not get 100, but he will surely pass. That's the same thing for all things. If we let go of the little things, the big things will come in their train. But if we're careful, we do not even let the little things go by. and Yetzer Hashem, we will never do any big things. If the little things are worthwhile enough for us, as in Parshas Ekev, Rashi brings some Chazal, the mitzvahs of Adam Doshba Akevav, that think light of it, that's the ones that you especially have to be careful about, so it doesn't lead to worse things. That's the way of a tzaddik that fulfills the will of Hashem always. And we can see the Hemshech HaPashios, the continuation of this thought beautifully, with what transpires after Chamishi, when the generals come to Moshe Rabbeinu and want to bring a kapara, a korban, to Hashem. For what? For hearer Aveva. For even any evil thoughts they might have. Not actions, but just thoughts. It shows what we were saying before, how careful these tzaddikim wanted to be. And we can also see a hint to this, that it was a machshavos, as Rashi brings from Chazal, that they were talking about. Because in Pasuk Nun it says, as Rosh Hashiva points out, L'chaper anav shoseinu l'pnei Hashem. What do you mean l'pnei Hashem? Anything is l'pnei Hashem. Why does it say here l'pnei Hashem? To show you that it was something that others, humans, would not know. Something that only was in his mind, in his thoughts. But Hashem knows. And these tzaddikim understood and felt that for this also they should bring a kapara. Even though the Gemara says that one of the three things a person in general cannot evade from sinning every day is one of them, the machshav hara, evil thought. Now Asher, of course, learns that there are yichidim, individuals, which can even overcome that, of course. They put their mind to it fully. And again, these tzaddikim here are coming with this point. This is what they want to bring a korban l'Hashem for, to have a kapara for that even. And as the Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out also, even if they had a suffix here, they would want to do it. Because who's to know what their true intentions were? Because as we see in this pasuk also, look at the jewelry that they took here. Which came first? Was the jewelry taken as an excuse to look? To have these thoughts? Chas v'shalom? Or was it pure motive to take away what was rightfully theirs now after these Rishayim did what they did? And even for that, a suffix, these great tzaddikim showed that they wanted to have a kapara for this. The Vilna Gaon says on the Mishnah Avos that you should serve Hashem Shalom al Manasseh Kabel Pras. Who can ever know for sure that they're doing it for that reason? That since there is Schar, how do they know for sure whether they are doing it for Lishma purposes, if they reach that Madrega? And we can say, the Rosh Hashiva Shlita says beautifully, that they learned this from the Imahos themselves. When Yaakov Avinu in Parshas Vayetze tells the Imahos that Hashem came to him and said, it's time to leave, what would we think? The Imahos would say right away, of course, whatever Hashem says, do. But no, what do they say? They describe how bad it is, what do they have to be here for, and therefore listen to Hashem. What's going on here? But that's showing us the true tzidkis of our matriarchs, the Imahos, that they refuse to take credit Because who's to know really what they are doing it for? Since they had it so rotten, so to speak, here anyway, they don't want to take the credit that they're doing it totally lishma because Hashem says so. They want to call a spade, that this is the situation here and everything. And therefore, of course, listen to Hashem also, of course. But they don't. They want to make sure not to take any credit that they may not deserve. And that's the point here also. They learned well from their ancestors. And that's why Moshe and Elazar, the Kohen, accepted the carbon that they brought. And what happened? They left it in the Beis HaMikdash, now of course the Mishkan, as a remembrance for all time, to learn this lesson. They didn't melt it down and use it for Kalim. Even though I saw some learn that they used it for Kalim, we could say that they inscribed it, making sure it was always remembered for that purpose, and a lesson for all time. Hashem, may we learn and carry out all the lessons of Hashem. Tamid, umeata, v'yad olam.